Okay.
Hi, Brett.
Hello.
Like I said, Ollie's here, and who is one of the members of our audit committee. David Allen, who is one of our counselors and also a member of the audit committee, is here. The one we're missing is the mayor, Mark McConnell, and Mark will be here shortly. So,
okay.
So if you want to start, I think you can start, and then we'll proceed.
Yeah, we can kind of start a little bit. I went over with the mayor a little bit last time I was there, so I got to meet with him a little bit. So.
Right.
We can start kind of, I guess, with the timeline at the top of the, as long as everyone's looking at the X conference summary thing that I gave you, Linda.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay. So we completed field work in April, completed final field work in October. We usually do like an interim and then final, kind of come out twice a year just to make sure that do half the work one time. That way we're not doing so much work at final. So we finished that up. And then Linda just got us to send us the financials yesterday. So we're going to look through that and kind of work on completing those financials, doing the notes to the financials, as well as the board letters and any of the letters that we have to do, opinion letter and things like that. And then I'll send that stuff to Linda as soon as I get a completed draft, and then she can look it over, and we'll just be in communication in regards to that until we get it issued, hopefully mid-December or something like that. Any questions on the timeline from anyone on how things are going and things like that?
So your October 31st target date, has that been completed?
It was a little bit late, but that's okay. Linda sent it to me yesterday, I think. So we're going to, I'll look at that stuff that she sent me. I haven't really looked at it yet, but we'll start working on the financials and draft now, okay. And hopefully send her kind of the final draft, or the close to the final draft, probably within 2 or 3 weeks.
Brett, just FYI, last night when I was going through it, I found one correction, so I'll send that to you as soon as I get back to my office.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
And so then we can go into some of the findings, and all the exit comments ones are just some small things that we found that really aren't worth noting on any report or anything like that. It's just something that we brought up with Linda just to make sure that she's aware of any findings, any small things like that that could be corrected, but they're nothing material, nothing that's really significant to the financials. So I don't know if I'll go over each one of those. That's something you can maybe look over, and if you have any questions, you can ask Linda about that, or you could ask me or something like that. But I'll go straight down to start on number 12, which is where the significant deficiencies begin. And the first one there is about the clerk receiving the cash and being able to enter the cash receipt into the accounting system and also being able to make adjustments.
We just started.
And there's no formal review of those adjustments.
We're on number 12.
Basically, it's our recommendation that that all those adjustments are being reviewed. And I think, Linda, are you kind of looking at that, creating something that would provide a review? That.
Yeah, Brent, before we go on, Mayor Mark McConnell just entered the room, so we have a full audit committee here.
Okay, sounds good.
Yes, we're switching softwares, and when we switch the softwares, one of the things we will be able to do is block Kate out of making adjustments to the present system we're on. We can't, if we block her out of making adjustments, she can't take payments. So
who is going to be making the adjustments at that point?
Our court clerk, because that's, I mean, really, that's what happens is when they go to court, the judge changes the fine, and at that time she makes the adjustments. So
okay, but you and then Kay will continue to receive the cash.
That is correct.
Yeah.
When will that? When do you anticipate the switchover?
In December, we're hoping to have Cassell up and running on by the end of December for court. So,
I'm looking at this number 12, and the last sentence says that it's to ensure that no unauthorized adjustments are made by the court clerk. So if they're doing the adjustments, what will be the balance, the check there?
Well, and when she makes the adjustments to what the judge does.
Right.
And so so what we can do is have after she's made the adjustments, bring it into to me to approve and just mark off that those adjustments have been made and
The big deal is that if someone's receiving cash and making the adjustments, that's kind of where the risk is, because they could take some of the cash.
And Kathy doesn't receive cash.
So if they're not receiving the cash, there's not really a risk as much to make unauthorized adjustments.
Right. Okay.
Okay, we can go down to 13, the bank reconciliations that were just reviewed a little bit later than normally. We'd like to see not always dated, so we just want to make sure that all the bank reconciliations, after they're prepared, that they're reviewed also within a couple of weeks, of just to make sure that it's timely, and anything that might be unusual would be noticed within a reasonable amount of time. Any questions on that one?
Will that be easier? Because this has been on the list for several years now. Will that be easier now that you have the new... the reconciliation will occur?
Hopefully, once we're totally up and running and we have everybody trained, part of the problem has been so much change in the office.
You currently have procedures that lay that out as far as how that reconciliation is supposed to be done?
Yes.
So it's just a matter of getting the two different programs matched up to the procedures?
It's also time, timing. There's a lot more, it sounds crazy, but there's more important things than bank recs,
Okay.
That getting the bills paid and getting...
Is it also a staffing issue then?
A staffing issue, yes.
So review is the one of the key things.
Right.
That it has been reviewed by somebody else, no matter when it finally happens.
Yeah, and they are all reviewed by someone else, no matter when that happens. So.
Okay. And this making sure there's some kind of a document or a check mark or some stamp or something to be checked and signed off by somebody.
Yeah,
that's been reviewed.
If it's a bank reconciliation I've done, David signs off, dates it. If it's one that the accounts payable person does, she signs off, and then it gives it to me, and I sign off and date it.
Okay.
So we're looking for just evidence of when it was done and by who, just to make sure that the duties are segregated and that multiple eyes are looking at it and things like that.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. The next one. I know we've talked with Linda about this one, just her having full access to the payroll function within the software, that she can create employees, and just a segregation of duties issue there. Yeah. I know that she's kind of looked at it, but there's not really a way to remove her at this point from making those. So that's just a risk that we wanted to make sure that the board's aware of.
Brett, is that I know you noted it as a significant deficiency, but I guess my question is, given, I guess in other cities maybe with not as many people, not as many staff, would you note that as more of a significant deficiency versus here in the city? Here we have a finance director along with Linda and several other people, or do you still think, even though the circumstance might be different with the city our size, that still is something that we should put in place as soon as possible?
I think having some, I know she has access to do all that things. I know she's not doing all those things. So it's just one of the ways to do it is just to remove her access. But I know that it's hard to do that because there's things that she needs to be able to do.
And we've had a prime example this last couple of months that David went out right afterwards. We lost our HR person who was putting in employees. If I didn't have total access, we wouldn't have had new employees on into the system. So, it's kind of a...
It's a symptom of having a small staff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, isn't whether you have full access, but even though you have full access, Brett, even though Linda has full access, do you still think there's enough oversight control that it is an issue, but not something that we should be overly concerned about?
Yeah, I think the important thing is to have, having someone process the payroll, which I know Linda's not processing the payroll. She's kind of the one reviewing it. So I think it's important just to make sure that she's not one processing it. And there's, as long as she's reviewing it, then someone else is processing it.
So Linda, I know we're looking for someone to fill that HR position. If that gets filled again, will that allow enough staffing to actually mitigate some of the concerns that are raised in this letter?
The big thing is I will no longer be putting in new employees.
Right.
As for not having access to do that, there again we go
okay.
go the question of...
Okay.
Yes. Well, so wouldn't it be possible that if there was an emergency and there was a need to have access to it, that you would have a system where you could get the code or get a code or get, somehow say to David or to somebody, even if David wasn't here, if say I need to have access to this and and then you would have a documented period of time where you had access again and then you were out again. I don't know how often or how easy it is to change the access codes. I mean, it'd be harder on the other person, but you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I see
is
what you're
that
saying.
When you needed to have access on an emergency basis, you would be granted that access, so to speak. It would be documented, and then you would be back out again when it wasn't necessary. There would be a way that you could do it still. I understand that sometimes there isn't anybody else there, but maybe that would be a way to do it. We would have a temporary password system that would work that you could utilize and then log back out again, and it would be that would go away. Some way to document the fact that you had access for a while.
So maybe setting up a second password for myself, which would give it to me, so you could verify that when I set up new employees, it was under that password and that password only.
Something so you have a record of the fact that you were in there and you had on a short-term basis or temporary basis.
I agree with the mayor because this is a significant deficiency, and for us to just say, well, we can't do it is one thing. So I think I'm looking at that last sentence. We recommend that the city consider implementing a mitigating control to address this risk. Well, if we can't address it completely, meaning you sometimes need emergency access, then let's try and put some procedure in place like the mayor suggested that can at least reduce that risk over a certain period of time and minimize it.
Okay.
Could that password...
So.
Be held by the city manager and then issued out?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It could be by the city manager or the finance director, just somebody who, that you report to that would say, okay, I know I've given you access for this period of time.
Yeah.
Brett, does that sound like a reasonable way to at least minimize that deficiency that you've noted?
Yeah, it does. I'm not really sure what security capabilities are of the software.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but that'd be the only issue as to how that can be controlled. But if that's something that they can do, and just to make sure that when she does use it, it's documented and someone's reviewing it, then that would take care, and that would definitely provide another control to reduce the risk.
Yeah. Again, it's not really about Linda. It's just about having that control because this is something we're going to have in place for. The future, regardless of who's filling that position. So this is more not about you, but I just want to note that this is really about just having that procedure.
Yeah. It's protection for Linda too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to know that.
But anyway,
that's one reason why I don't sign checks.
Yeah.
So
it's about procedures here, and that's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think as you implemented the new software, you'll maybe be able to find out different ways that you can go about doing that and just get more comfortable with the Cassell program. So.
True.
So. Okay, so if we can go down to the next one, the next four are just, there are other matters that are not significant deficiencies. They're just risks and comments that we want to make sure that the board's aware of, and so go on the report just as other matters. And most of them are pretty standard from year to year. The first one you probably recognize if you've seen other reports, where the Fidelity insurance coverage is less than the amount of cash on in the bank account at any point in time. And so we recommend that the board annually examine the exposure risk and then evaluate whether they feel the coverage is significant enough, or and if it needs to change, then they can decide if they need to change it or not. But and I think the amount of cash on hand was like $2.3 million, and then the amount of coverage was like
$750,000. Oh, that needs to change.
I'm sorry, what's that number? What was that?
Number.
So that coverage isn't 15. Really expensive, is it?
15.
Sure.
Is that coverage really expensive?
I think the crime coverage is $350,000. And so basically, we just want the board to be aware that there's a risk there, because the amount of cash exceeds that insurance amount.
What was our coverage amount?
$1 million.
I think it's $350,000.
And what we have
$2.3 million on hand at any given moment. So we need to have more coverage there. But is that expensive?
You need coverage? Part of the process.
I'm not sure.
How much more it'll cost you, and if it's worth,
We should have that information at some point to look at.
Because that's way less than half.
Maybe, maybe next year when we're at the beginning stages of the audit process, maybe we can have that information at our next audit committee meeting to see if that's something the city wants to put in place.
David and Linda can just take a look at what the coverage is and make a recommendation that it be raised and just put it in their budget.
Yes, and say put it in the budget operations.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably going to be just around the same time the audit committee meets too, because it's usually. When's the first audit committee meeting, Brent?
Usually in April.
Okay, so it's just around coincides with the budget process.
Yeah. Well, I would think that might be something you would want to change as sooner rather than later if the coverage cost isn't too high.
I will find out and let you know.
Obviously, you have to take, when you evaluate it and see whether you should raise it or not, you have to look at the the internal controls in place.
That's what I was going to say, the risk. What's the risk that we're trying to address versus the cost of additional coverage? That's a kind of a balancing
whether
test.
Whether it's worth it or not,
It's a balancing test. It's kind of like, I think what we all do with auto insurance and home insurance too. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing.
And if you don't really see a risk of, more than $350,000, then you don't, not necessary to raise it or anything. And we can't really make the call for you. It's kind of something that the board and management have to, analyze.
Well, I'm just thinking with the mayor. Actually, if when David gets back, I know he's going to be out full. He's part time until the end of the year. Maybe at the beginning of the year, when Dave's starting to formulate the budget process, maybe he can come back before the council as part of one of his financial notes, his financial report. Just let us know that you've looked into the insurance issue with Fidelity coverage, and this is what you're thinking, and the council can make a decision, and that might give you some direction for the budget process.
Yep.
Also,
how much it would cost to increase.
Exactly.
Also, Brent, can I ask, you said $2.3 million. Are you talking about just in Umpqua Bank, basically?
Umpqua Bank and Bank of America, and then you have a money market in like West Coast Bank.
Right, okay. So one thing to know, too, is... last year we probably had $1.5 million for the wastewater. I mean, the new water treatment plant. That money is gone. So the amount in the bank is probably a lot less than what it was.
This would include the retirement investments, also, though.
No.
Okay.
It does not include the LGIP accounts.
So. Right.
Oh, okay.
And the total was $2.3 million?
What it was at June 30th.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
and
it might
it's,
be less
it's gone down significantly.
It changes throughout the year, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Just something to look at and decide whether the coverage is adequate or not.
Yep. And the next one down, number 16, it's kind of a new note this year that our managing partner wants to kind of make sure the board's aware. It's just a reminding the board that their duties are more than just, you know, the budget process and, you know, looking at staff prepared financial statements. You know, they need to just, you know, just remind them to ask questions, be involved, just to show that, just make sure that Linda knows that there's someone that's, you know, looking over the work, and that they're involved, and, you know, wanting to know what checks are being paid out and things like that. And just reminding the board that, you know, their duties go farther than just looking at the budget, helping prepare that, and just they need to do more monitoring. So that's just the reminder for them.
So I guess.
So the audit committee is part of that process. Mm-hmm. What we're doing today.
So looking into that, Brett, we have this audit committee that reviews this information. We also have monthly reports that our finance director prepares, and then as a council, we ask questions about those reports, which are more along the lines of budgetary matters. So separate from that, unless individual council members have questions at council meetings or they drop by David's office with a question, what other things do you suggest we can incorporate as a group, council that is, at our meetings or otherwise to meet this item 16?
And this is something that if you think the board's really involved and really doing a good job, then, you know, we can talk about taking this off, but it's just kind of a reminder. But if you read the last sentence, it says, since monitoring activities, including benchmarking, are unique to each entity, we are available to assist the governing body in establishing checklists, questions, and benchmarks that are customized for your use. So one thing we're recommending is that the board kind of make up a checklist of questions and things that they could go over at the meeting or before the meeting or something, and just kind of do that every single time. You know, just make sure that they're asking the right questions. And so that's one thing that could be established is those checklists and things that they can ask the management about each month.
So what I'm thinking is that we're going to have a new council that's going to be seated after the first of the year. That might be a good time at some point for the council to check in with David and Linda and maybe have David give us some suggestions as to the kind of benchmarks and questions he thinks would be useful for us as a council to do to meet this item 16 and see if there's anything he recommends put in place to meet this objective.
Yeah. And that's something that us as a firm are trying to establish, some that we can give to clients, because clients are, you know, we mentioned there we're available to assist you in customizing these.
Well, I think to me the main thing is that whatever kinds of monitoring is done, that it doesn't require extra time and energy and extra reporting. It'd be information that's readily available to the finance director and staff, because they're already at the skin of their teeth, so we just want to be careful about that, I think.
Well, that's why I asked David to come back with suggestions, because if David gives us the suggestions, he'll take into account the type of staffing and resources that he needs, rather than us imposing something on him. So that's why I wanted to get him in.
I just think we should be careful about that.
Well, we'll make sure David knows that.
It may be helpful with the switchover on new members that David come up with some sort of better term, a flow chart. Here's our monitoring process, and here's the checks and balances of that, and make a simple diagram that shows how that works.
Yeah, they'll have to spend their first few meetings and especially their first few work sessions doing a lot of training, a lot of work, because they've got a lot of new people coming on. So
that's a good suggestion, Brent. I'm glad you put it in there. It's something for the council to consider in working with David on this issue.
Yeah, with the new board, it's probably good. And it does kind of talk in the second paragraph there in the middle. It mentions it's just articulating those monitoring practices and put those in the minutes. You know, if the board is doing any kind of questions, make sure that those are noted in the minutes as kind of a form of review. And then we can go on to the last two, number 17, has to do with the city has a 403B plan, and it was run by a third party, and this third party doesn't have a like an annual audit done. So there's a risk that since this other client, third party is, doesn't have this audit done, that there's...
What's a 403B?
403B, it's like deferred compensation plan.
We have a 457B plan, and they are audited.
But what about the the extra dollars that the employees can choose to put in on top of everything else that the city puts in? Is that going to a 403B, or does that stay in the other plan?
It stays in the other plan. It stays in the retirement plan.
So no one working for the city has a 403B?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Well, I can look into that, and or I can talk to you, Linda, more about that.
Okay. Brett, before you go on, I just want to get back to number 16, because you did note in your middle paragraph about recording in the minutes, and we do have that done by our city recorder. But I was just thinking, this audit committee, I've never seen prepared minutes for this audit committee. We have an audio file. I would probably think if we're going to be as compliant as possible, Linda, I'm not sure what your situation is or with Peggy's, but we are recording it, but I still think from this point forward, maybe starting with this meeting, we should start preparing minutes and have those minutes approved at each audit committee meeting as a record, rather than having to go back to the audio file and figure out what we did.
Well, and provide those minutes to the council.
Well, again,
as soon as they're prepared.
Let's have it in place, so that's a matter of record for folks in the future to look back on. Because these audio files are great, but you know, if you don't know what you're searching for, you can end up listening for 2 hours at a meeting and to find out what was said in 30 seconds. So.
Okay, so we're on number 18.
Okay, so number 18 is basically that the city has more than the legally required number of funds, and basically the GASB, or the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, they just encourage governments to use the minimum number of funds just to make it less complex, maybe a little bit more understandable. And so that was sort of my recommendation so the management can evaluate whether certain funds can be eliminated or whether they, you know, just to make sure that no funds are in place that don't need to be. But we're not, you know, it's just a reminder that there's a risk kind of with having more funds, and just if there's any way to eliminate some of the funds that aren't necessary, the management can evaluate that.
And just a note there, we did combine several different funds this year. We combined all of the URAs into one fund. We put the SDCs all into one fund. We did split out the debt service, but we're required by GASB to do that. So,
yeah, so I think it's definitely improved this year, just combining some of those. Just so there's fewer funds, a little bit that you
can
understand.
Well, to me, sometimes the opposite effect occurs because, thankfully, we have a new software program, and we've had a fairly consistent finance director now for a couple of years. But since I've been on the council the last 4 years, we had several different finance directors, and they kept changing funds and changing titles and moving things around back and forth. And there's no way for anybody to track anything that way. So I think it's fine. I understand making it simple, but I think we have to be really, really careful. If we keep changing categories and funds, it makes it tough to track when it looks when you're looking at budgeting and finding out where things are happening. So
I understand that too.
I'll let go of that sentiment, because you're on the budget committee too, but you not as long as Mark and I, but I just want to say, we've talked about significant deficiencies, but I just want to, you know, note for the record, under key findings, there's even a higher category of concern, and that's material weakness, and there's no material weaknesses in this audit report. So I just want to say that even though we talk about significant deficiencies, that is still not as high as some of the standards that we could be seeing here if the audit report wasn't as, I think, as positive as what I have in front of me.
Well, to me, the goal should be those three significant deficiencies have been on the list now for 2 or 3 years, and now we've switched to the new software. We should be able to get those off the list this next year.
Yep,
because they're all very curable.
Yep, I agree with that. Well, are there any other questions on any of those findings, or I guess if you have them, you can let the, you know, some of those things you can ask Linda about, and Linda can explain them to you, and but you can definitely get my contact. Maybe Linda can share my email or something with you guys, and if anyone has any questions, they can contact me.
I don't have any. So I think what we should do with this particular report is to include it in the packet for next meeting. And we'll take a few minutes during, I guess, during discussion time at the council agenda that we'll, we can take a look at some of these and talk specifically about any of the ones we want to. Do you have any?
Do you want to do it in this coming meeting, or do you want to wait until the audit is completed and then do at the time the audit is presented?
At the time the audit is presented, when will that be done?
December 17th meeting? Shooting for December 17th meeting.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Yeah, and we'll provide this at the same time.
Right. This will be part of the audit.
And also, that will probably provide enough time to prepare draft minutes of this meeting and include that in the packet as well, so people can see what we discuss, and then the audit committee next year can approve and adopt the minutes, but at least there will be a draft for people to look at.
And then we can take less time at the meeting to actually explain the discussions that we had here, because it's always a little hard to, we're going to discuss all this again today that we did at the next meeting, we might as well just have all the councilors here.
I have trouble.
We want to be careful with that, too.
I have trouble reading my notes, so I mean, it's good to have minutes, because it makes it more complete.
Okay.
But, I wasn't sure if I'm not sure if December 17th will work. I think we mentioned that the January meeting might be more probable, but we'll have to see kind of how that.
Yeah, that's fine. I think actually it might not be a bad idea, because then you'll have a new council seated, and that would be probably a better time to do
better
it.
Better time.
And but the audit still has to be completed before the end of the year. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
But the actual report that you guys are going to do and the review.
Well, So my suggestion would be, your audit report will be first of the year. I still think I'd like to have on the agenda before this council, for the last meeting, is to have this and the draft minutes, and we can kind of separate out the formal audit report in January, and then we can at least have this, and then we'll have the minutes. And as part of the mayor's and I's reports of committees, we can at least have this and the minutes to report on.
Yeah, and that would get us started in the process of number 16, which says that we're monitoring on a regular basis, and we have it in our minutes.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brett.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Anything else you want to say?
Anything else? I brought that. I didn't know if you had any questions.
That was the one you mentioned.
Yeah.
No, I have weed.
Yeah.
Maybe Ollie would like to see it.
One of the things that I ask in there about how long the auditors have, these auditors have been with us for 5 years, and our plan is to go out for an RFP this coming year.
Okay.
Just because it's a good idea.
I think we're supposed to do it every 5 years, aren't we?
I believe so. I know when they hired these guys, they said 3 to 5 years, and the last couple of years we've both been, David and I have said, we'd like to go out. It's just been
good practice.
Some of the switching and
although
stuff.
Although I think these guys
on,
have done an excellent job for us.
So, yes.
They've been pretty easy to work with, and they've been on time.
They have been interesting to work with. Brett, I really like Brett. The first auditor we had, I wasn't very thrilled with.
He's been here the last 2 years?
Last two years. So he's been...
RFP always, they can submit anyone else, and we can reevaluate. That's good.
You might as well keep them a little bit competitive.
That's good. That's good. So... Ollie, if you go onto the League of Oregon Cities website, you can actually download these publications.
Okay.
So I know you'd like it, because I know you pay attention to stuff. So it's an interesting edition.
There must be extra copies of that floating around here somewhere.
Very good. I look forward to my magazine coming every month.
I know how much you like preparing PowerPoints, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll get Ole.
So, is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Adjourned.
Okay, thank
We're adjourned
you.
And...